Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like today to demonstrate the truth of a point made by yesterday's preacher and share with you yet another sermon on the same text. Dear friends in Christ, never have I entered on Advent so vitally and intensely alert as I am now. When I pace my cell up and down, three paces one way and three the other, my hands manacled, an unknown fate in front of me, then the tidings of our Lord's coming to redeem the world and deliver it have quite a different and much more vivid meaning. These words may sound as if they could have come from John, prophet, baptizer, now inmate, but they come instead from the Advent meditations of Father Alfred Delp, written from Tegel prison during what would turn out to be his last Advent tide on earth, Advent 1944. He was executed the following February. His crime was trying to envision a new social order, a Christian social order for his country once the grip of Nazism was broken. Father Delp's Advent meditation continues, "My mind keeps going back to the angel someone gave me as a present during Advent 2 or 3 years ago. It bore the inscription, 'Be of good cheer, the Lord is near.' A bomb destroyed it. The same bomb killed the donor. I can only imagine how different the tidings of the Lord's coming must have sounded to Alfred and to John, spoken through prison bars to men who would not live to see another Advent. We are today celebrating the years of ordained service of these men gathered here in the front of the chapel. Their collective time done here at Concordia and at the church at large could make John's prison time seem like a weekend in the county lockup. Does Advent seem different to them this year, I wonder, as they reflect back on Advents celebrated at other times and in other places? It would be interesting to hear. Perhaps we'll get the chance later this morning. For many of us here this morning, however, I suspect the problem is not how different Advent sounds this year. Our problem is that Advent present sounds just like Advent past, and we fear there's not going to be anything new about Advent still to come either. Advent's texts are as familiar to us as the carols of the season, though like the carols, we only really know the words to the first verse. The rest we sort of mumble hum our way through. The Baptist's cry, the prophet's foretelling, are like the ornaments we so carefully unwrap, dust off, display, and enjoy while they're out, then carefully pack them away again so we can enjoy them next year. The spirit of the season, Advent's longing, Advent's patience, Advent's hope, these we slide into again like an old Santa suit that may not fit as well as it used to, but no matter, we won't have to wear it for long. We had, of course, hoped something different would happen this year. Think about where we are. Think about what we're doing. If it were ever going to happen, wouldn't it be here? Wouldn't it be now, this year? Maybe. Maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe Advent's lesson for us is just this: the more things change, the more they stay the same. For us. Because we do have to admit that things seem to be changing all around us. Blind people are seeing, lame people are walking, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead live. The poor have good news preached to them. That's all great for them. But what about us captives? Did you notice there was no word of release to the captive? Advent comes and Advent goes, as regular as clockwork, as annual as tax day, as ordered as the seasons. It comes and goes, and the Messiah's prophet is still in prison. The violent still oppress. The poor are still with us. The waiting people keep on waiting. And Wachet auf slowly becomes for us a lullaby. But he who has ears to hear had better hear now what the God of history is saying at the supreme hour of history. Advent may be for us, but it's not about us. Not in the sense that it truly becomes Advent when we feel a certain way. Not in the sense that we make it Advent when we keep it in our hearts, or even when we wake up from our stupor and smell what's brewing. Advent is his presence, not ours. And when he shows up, things are anything but as regular as clockwork and as ordered as the seasons. His advent jars every imaginable pattern. Blindness becomes sight. Corruption dissolves into cleanness. Death becomes the predecessor of life. And John, prison prophet, is not exception, but proof. The violent had opposed the reign of God. They had imprisoned and silenced prophets, but not prophecy. The word of the Lord would be proclaimed even if the stones on the ground had to shout it out. No king, no conqueror, no tyrant or council could silence the voice of the Lord spoken by his prophets. But prophets and law were silenced. What need is there for prophecy when the king and lawgiver, the desire of all nations, has come? Yet once more would the violent attempt their program of snatching and silencing, of arrest and execution. Yet once more would the reign of God receive violent treatment at the hands of violent men. Surely, they thought, if they could slay the great John with impunity, this one of no consequence, this little fellow, this lamb of the kingdom, would cause them no trouble. And that was the fatal flaw in the argument. They had not reckoned with the until now that this one spoke. Little did they know that this little one would manifest a greatness that far exceeded the greatness of his greatest prophet. No longer can prison or sword or tomb silence this word or withstand this kingdom. Friends, the prisons that held John and Alfred captive were all too real. But the prisons that hold us are, I fear, largely of our own devising. That's not to say, though, that the fears and questionings and doubts and disappointments are only imagined. But to us, this day, the same answer comes that came to John so long ago. And the answer is not, search your hearts and see what they tell you. No, the answer is, look and listen. Our Lord Jesus Christ was no mere blip on the screen, not some momentary disturbance that the system has now corrected for. The Lord did not raise up a new generation of prophets to point to a new Messiah, to inaugurate a new season of endless waiting. The people healed by this one's parousia stayed healed. The good news that the poor heard is still proclaimed in his name, and the hold of the violent ones on the people of God has been broken forever. The claim simply will not stand that nothing has changed, that this year brings the same old advent. You have heard what this one has done. Now look, now hear. It is not simply the words of the prophet that fill this holy house. It is the gospel of the Lord that resounds in its rafters. It is not the Passover that you have come to eat this morning. It is the banquet of the Lord, the meal that satisfies, even as it makes us long to partake of the feast to come, the meal at which the nations sit down together. He has come, and nothing can undo that. He comes now, and no one can stop him. He will come, and it is a fact that our salvation is nearer today than it was in Advent 2006. People of God, your iniquity is pardoned, and your warfare is ending. The grass may fade, but the glory of the Lord shines undiminished in the face of our Lord. Behold your God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.